This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Bronwyn and Tass. So what are we doing next, Bronwyn?
Oh, look, we've got a really full hour. So we're talking with Jenny Markakos, who is the Victorian Health Minister, about the voluntary assisted dying legislation.
That starts
which is
this week.
Starting this week.
So on the 19th of June, the legislation
to
takes.
Hearing from Jenny and having a conversation with her.
But Bronwyn,
well,
you know,
maybe we could
you know about voluntary assisted dying.
Yes. Yeah. So. Look.
So tell us about the eligibility criteria.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, this legislation emerged after, you know, very, very many years of
long consultation,
campaigning by groups within the community. It's a very contentious issue because, there's... polarised views about what's perceived as euthanasia and what's perceived as, palliative care, caring for someone, a good death, all of those sorts of things.
But it's one of those polarising issues, isn't it, Bronwyn?
It is.
You either support it or you don't.
That's right.
And there's not very much ground in the middle, is there?
And the people who've been involved in the consultation and the development of the legislation would say that it was that very polarisation that was the difficult thing to navigate because why it's so important to have such a very tight set of criteria in place for access to these kinds of things. And, basically the principles are that, people have to be fully cognizant of the decisions that they make for them. These are not decisions that others can make.
So they have to have their mental faculties fully in place.
That's right.
They can't be demented. They can't be psychotic. They can't be,
It's all about absolute informed choice. It's all about having a long period of time to make that choice. And then it's all about the clinical affirmation that sits around that, in other words, making sure that doctors, not just one doctor, approves and, so they're the kind of checks and balances.
So, Bronwyn, we now have the Health Minister on board. Good morning, Jenny. No, we don't. We seem to have lost her. Not quite sure what happened then. So, Bronwyn, the other thing that I understand is that everybody has to opt in.
Yes.
You can't have this imposed on you. No. A clinician can't offer you voluntary assisted dying.
No.
It must be something that you as the patient must choose.
That's
you must ask for it.
Mm.
It's not something that your doctor can say, hey, we think that you're about to die.
And the doctors have, of course, themselves choice about their engagement in the process
throughout
as well.
The entire process.
We have our minister with us.
Good morning, Jenny.
Fantastic. Good morning, Jenny. It's Bronwyn Park here.
Good morning. First time lucky I got through. Hi, Bronwyn. Hi, Tass. How are you today?
Great. Great to have you on the wires. We've just started talking about voluntary assisted dying because we understand that the legislation is enacted on Wednesday. So as of Wednesday, whole process begins and our health system right across the state now is gearing up in preparation for this. The question that I asked early in the piece was, who is eligible to apply for voluntary assisted dying? Are you able to shed some light on that for us?
Yes, of course. So at the outset, can I just say that I'm very proud that Victoria will become the first state in Australia to enable voluntary assisted dying from Wednesday. And it's important to stress here that we have had a very long lead-up time towards this implementation with the law passed by the Victorian Parliament about 18 months ago. And since that time, we have been planning meticulously to get every aspect of this right. So your correct task is very strict eligibility criteria around these laws. In fact, we believe that our laws are the safest and most conservative in the world and reflect the wishes of our Victorian community. And we think we're on the right side of history here because we think that about 90% of the community support voluntary assisted dying. That was certainly reflected at the recent Vote Compass data just ahead of the federal election we had recently. So in terms of coming to your question and eligibility, the way the legislation has been crafted, it's only adults with decision-making capacity who are suffering and who have an incurable advanced and progressive disease, illness or medical condition that is likely to cause death within 6 months can access the scheme, and for people with a neurodegenerative condition, it's 12 months. So it's very strict, and it's the person themselves who must make this request. It cannot be a family member, it cannot be the medical practitioner initiating the conversation. The request must always be initiated by the patient themselves with the health practitioners who are treating the patient. So,
and they must ask on three separate occasions, as I understand
it. Yes, they have to ask on three separate occasions. In fact, one of those requests will need to be in writing as well, and there'll be two doctors involved in assessing the person for eligibility. Typically, it will be a person will typically go to their GP first and make that request, or the GP will be coming to them, and then there will be typically a specialist involved who's got expertise in that person's condition. Mm-hmm. So there are strict eligibility criteria, and I accept that not everyone will be happy with that either, but we think we've got the balance right here to make sure that we've got the right safeguards in place. And in fact, we had an expert panel. The process was first we had a parliamentary committee inquiry that recommended this and had very extensive community consultations and looked at overseas jurisdictions. We then had an expert panel which recommended 68 different safeguards to be included in the legislation, and every one of those safeguards was included. And we'll have a review board chaired by former Supreme Court Judge Betty King that will be reviewing each one of these cases after the event, because we want to make sure that the system is working well and reassure the community that all of these safeguards are in fact being complied.
So it sounds like it's an incredibly narrow cohort of people who will be able to apply for this. How many people are we expecting in a fully operating year that might access this program?
We think in the first year it's likely to be quite modest numbers, but ultimately we'd be looking at about 150 patients every year, and that's based on the international experience. So for the vast majority of people, they will still pursue palliative care, and in fact it's not a binary choice between palliative care and voluntary assisted dying. Most people will go through palliative care. Some at the end of that process, their suffering will be so intolerable that they will want to pursue voluntary assisted dying. And I believe that the fact that this option is now and this choice, and it is, as I stress, a choice, will be available to everybody in those circumstances will give people a lot of comfort as well, because we've seen from overseas that some people will go through the process, will actually have the medication at home, and ultimately what people want to achieve is what we would understand is a good death, surrounded by their family and their friends and their loved ones, potentially in their own home, having the medication at the ready should they wish to pursue that. And some people choose not to even
use that medication
at the end. But it gives them huge comfort to know that that's available to them.
Yeah, and when you describe the consultation process and the research that was done on what was happening overseas, Jenny, I think the public can feel reassured that there's no opportunity within Victoria for a vulnerable family member to sort of feel pressured by people who were saying, "Oh, you're a nuisance to us, get out of the way." I think that's people's big fear, is that older people, they feel like, "Oh, I'm hanging around. I'm a nuisance to my family," and all of that. But I really think the checks and balances that you've put in place should give the public...
It's pretty watertight, isn't it?
Yeah, it should give the public confidence that... I was going to ask you, But certainly the material and the preparation that's been available through the government and the department, in the local health services has been excellent. Are you finding that there are clinicians who are not wanting to participate, and how does that work?
Just as patients have a choice in this system, so too doctors have a choice as well. There's no compulsion for them to participate, and we do anticipate that some doctors will have very strong views about these issues. So it is a voluntary system. We've had about 100 doctors who've currently gone through the training or are completing the training at the present time. That's a very positive number, because the number of medical practitioners who have undertaken what is mandatory training to participate in this scheme are spread across Victoria. We've got about a third of those medical practitioners in regional Victoria.
That's good.
So it's important that there's opportunities there for people to access. But doctors can conscientiously object. There is no compulsion for them to participate. We've got some policy protocols in place with all of our health services, so that if a doctor doesn't want to participate, then there are referrals to other doctors.
I'm assuming that also is extended to nurses and allied health workers as well, who don't want to be part of this program?
Well, ultimately it will be the two doctors that will be signing off on doing the assessment in terms of eligibility. So they have a particular statutory role and responsibility under the legislation, but there's no compulsion for any healthcare worker to participate in this. We respect people's views, but I have seen, particularly from nurses, both through the course of the debate in the Parliament and subsequently, very strong support from our nursing profession. But, of course, we respect people's choices to not participate, but we do think that we've got adequate numbers already to get this legislation underway from Wednesday. The important thing to stress here is that people are not going to be left on their own to navigate the system. We've actually employed statewide care navigators, and there's a centralised phone number for people to call, and those navigators can assist people and give them advice about points of contact for health professionals and health services that can assist them in this process. So people can contact those navigators. There's all very detailed information about how the whole scheme works on the Department of Health and Human Services website. If people search for voluntary assisted dying, there's information there for the patients, for medical practitioners and for health services. And we've been working very closely, of course, with all our health services to make sure that they understand their obligations and how this legislation works.
Jenny, thank you very much. That's been a very comprehensive review. So if anybody wants to know more about this, go straight to the Department of Health and Human Services website. Jenny Makarkos, Minister for Health, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jenny.
For taking some time out of your busy schedule to brief our listeners on this very important and breaking program.
Thank you so much for giving me the time. We think it's a very compassionate scheme, and one that will really reassure so many people who are really at that really difficult point in their lives. And we want people to feel reassured that the scheme is ready to start on Wednesday.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you
very much.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.